It's Paul Smolin, M.D., your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions, he has answers. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Dr. Paul Smolin here. Thank you for joining me. I develop PEDcast to help parents navigate a myriad of parenting topics ranging from the crib to the country club. In these PEDcasts, I express general observations and opinions I have developed over a generation of pediatric practice and parenting. I am not providing medical judgments or advice. And by listening to my PEDcast, you're agreeing to the terms and conditions listed on my website, docsmo.com. Let's talk kids with today's topic. It's common to have sleep problems in childhood. We're talking about older children now, those that are out of a crib and have difficulty separating from their parents. Now, really, this sort of makes sense because if you think about where we came from, we were tribal creatures. We moved in tribes. 50 to 100 humans moved around and were nomadic and were moving all the time. And it was very, very important for our ancestors, especially children, to stay with the tribe for their survival. So one of our most primal fears that had developed over time was fear of abandonment. Now you add that fear of abandonment and you mix in with a little vivid imagination of a two-year-old and you got the recipe for some serious sleep problems. And this is the reality of what happens with young children. They have a lot of sleep problems, especially in the preschool years, and pediatricians are constantly dealing with these and giving advice. So today I'm going to give you my do's and don'ts for helping families have smooth night times. And I'm going to give you a practical strategy to smooth those night times for your preschool and young children. If you already have sleep problems, today's PEDcast is a definite must. Pay close attention. If you don't already have problems, listen carefully as well. Maybe we can avoid some sleepless nights. Now, if your child is begging you to stay with them while they fall asleep, they're lacking a skill. And the skill that they're lacking is the ability to lay down calmly, quietly, and fall asleep without you. Daddy, I need to potty. Mommy, I need some water. Daddy, just one more story. Please. Mommy, I'm scared. What your child is really saying is, sleep with me, or can I sleep with you? Because I don't want to separate from you, Mommy. Remember those tribal instincts. The tribe might move on. I might be abandoned. This is what their brain is screaming to them. And it's not natural to lay down on your own and go to sleep. But it's an important skill. So here's a strategy to help your child become more independent at night and overcome the challenge of separating from his or her parents for sleep. I'm going to show you how to get Janie or Johnny to calmly go to bed without raising your voice, without locking doors, or disrupting the entire neighborhood with screaming. So let's get started. Step one, I want you to ritualize the bedtime. Some people cut out pictures from a magazine of a child eating dinner, a child reading a book with their parents, a child taking a bath, a child going to bed. And that way, if it's posted on the fridge, you know, that central communication device that all parents use, if it's on the fridge, the child can be taken to the refrigerator and say, well, what do we do next? And so you're ritualizing the whole bedtime experience. The whole idea here is predictability. Let your child know exactly what's going to happen and try to do the same thing every night. Now, step two is what I call the deal. You're going to tell your child that if they're quiet and they stay in their bed and entertain themselves with toys or books, you will come back and check on them very frequently. The reality is you're going to come back and check on them very frequently whether they're quiet or not. But in their mind, that's how they earn your presence. And you have to do it. You have to go back really frequently at first, but slowly over time, as they begin to trust you that you're coming back, they'll start to calm down. If your child already has sleep problems, they're likely to come screaming the instant you put them in the bed. You just calmly take them back and remind them of the deal. The deal is you're quiet, you stay in your bed with a light on and books, and I will come back and check on you. Okay, step three is put the plan in motion and be consistent, and most of all, be very patient. Don't forget to praise success. If your child stays, when you come back, say, oh, that's a really good job, thanks for staying in your bed, and I'll be right back. And if they have failure, if they come screaming and yelling and crying and hysteria, just don't show emotion, calmly take them back. Eventually, they're going to have to submit to being in that bed. So let's think about what you've created for your child. In your child's mind, you are not gone. But in reality, you are. And at the moment that they get really tired and fall asleep, the chances are you will not be there. And they are learning the skill of getting comfortable without you being there. It's just like riding a bike or learning to swim. You're there to assist them, to help them because they're frightened, but they're actually learning to do something independently. Remember, that's a Doxmo pearl. Always good when your kids can learn to do something independently. And if you use books to entertain them in the bed, whoo, they become literate to boot. That can't be a bad thing. Now, here are the mistakes that parents make, and I recommend that you do not make them, even once in a while. You do not want to lay down with your child just to let them get drowsy. You do not want to sit in the room with them while they get drowsy. You do not let them get drowsy or fall asleep somewhere other than in their bed and then take them to the bed. And you do not want to use a TV or a video game as a surrogate parent. A definite no-no. And the big one, you do not want to put them in your bed. Now, if your child is sick or there is some unusual circumstance going on, such as really frightening weather, break the rules. All bets off. You can retrain your child when they're feeling well. It's not that difficult, especially if they've had success in the past.
Ooh, Doxmo, what do I do if my Janie wakes up in the middle of the night and comes running?
I'm glad you asked that question. Simply do the exact same things. Tell her that you're going to put her in a bed. She can stay awake. She can read. You'll leave a light on, and you'll check on her frequently. Now, it's probably 2 or 3 in the morning, and I really doubt whether Janie has enough energy to stay awake very long. If she's one of those sneaky ones, you may have to put a bell on her door so you can intercept her before she gets in some other part of the house for sleeping purposes.
But Doxmo, how long would this process take?
Well, it's probably going to take about 2 weeks to become smooth and natural, and about 2 months to become what I call the new reality. Just your child just doesn't remember anything else ever going to bed in any other way.
Doxmo, what do I do when we go to Grandma's and have a sleep overnight?
Ooh, sharp audience today. Good questions. Well, I recommend that you do exactly the same things at Grandma's. Go through the exact same sleep ritual, and I think your child will submit to that pretty easily.
Well, how about when we all sleep in a hotel?
Ooh, that is a really tough one. Not many choices when you're all in the same room. I think your child's sleep routines are going to get messed up when you're on vacation, and you're just going to have to go through the training again when you get home.
Okay, Doxmo, what if I did everything you said and this training doesn't work, and I've given it 2 whole weeks?
Well, your child may have a few other issues. They may have some excessive amount of anxiety. It's possible your child has ADD. A lot of the children who have ADD have sleep problems, or there may be some other reasons why they don't sleep well. And I want you to consult your child's pediatrician. They know you, and they know your child best. So let's sum it all up. Let's review the steps to help children with their fear of separation at night. We're going to first ritualize the bedtime. That child's going to know exactly what they're going to do every night, and we're going to be really consistent. We're going to reassure your child that you're there to help them. You're not abandoning them. They're going to think you're basically staying in the room while they're going to sleep. But in reality, they're falling asleep on their own with your frequent checking method. You're going to keep this whole ritual simple, and you're not going to lay down with them while they fall asleep, sit in the room with them while they get sleepy and fall asleep, let them fall asleep somewhere else and take them to their bed, or to use a TV or video game as a surrogate for you. And you're definitely not going to put them in your bed. The only time I want you to break those rules are when they're sick or there's some very unusual circumstance going on. I hope you found those comments useful. Feel free to send some back to me via my blog. Check out my website, docsmo.com, and please subscribe so you'll get notified when there's new content. I do try to put new content on weekly. This is Dr. Paul Smolin wishing you and your children happy nights without many frights. Until next time. I want to thank the following people for help with the production of this podcast: David, Golden Voice Jaffe, for his intro voiceover. Seth Jaffe, the Rocket Man Barrister, for his inspirational guidance. Wendy Smolin, chief of our talented legal staff. Ann Gessner, my extremely knowledgeable editing associate. Sarah, the Wizard Smolin, for her digital editing and photography. And Robert Beezer, Ben Smolin, and Jerome Moof for producing this beautiful intro and outro music you were listening to. Thanks, guys.